Good day, friends. We come to you again, and we're still in the book of Genesis. It's a great book, just full of truth. And as one reads the lives of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, one can't help but believe that where they failed, most of us fail. And yet, through their lives, we see the movement of God, how God loves to have His people walk with Him in simple obedience to His Word. I can't help but think of that passage in chapter 17 where God said to Abraham, "Abraham, walk before Me and be thou perfect." To walk before El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God, as a child in simple trust, and then to follow Him as His servant in simple obedience. How we need that these days. Now, I've been saying over and over again, and I want to say it again, that faith is evident by obedience. And the more we love Him, the more we walk with Him, the greater is our delight in doing what would please Him. That means we must spend time in the Word of God. If I'm to know the will of God, I must spend time in the Word of God. People say, "Well, Mr. Mitchell, I wish I had more faith." But my friend, God has given to us how to get more faith. And I read it in Romans chapter 10, 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, I read the Bible and I have faith, but I have so many tests. That's another part of God's way of purifying faith. You remember Romans 5, we glory in tribulations also because tribulation worketh patience. Patience experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. So as we read the lives of these men, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then Joseph, may God grant to you and to me open ears, open hearts. Remember that God has turned the nations to go their own way. You find that in chapter 11. Then God, in infinite grace, picked up this man, Abraham. The God of glory appeared unto him and said, "Get out." And he got out, not knowing whither he went. It called for obedience. It was enough that the God of glory had spoken. And now it's enough that El Shaddai, the Almighty God, the one who is able and sufficient to meet every need, and the one who loves us with an everlasting love. So you find this is the name of God to these dear old patriarchs. Now we are dealing now with Jacob. And this is a passage from 25:19, right through chapter 28, verse 5, which gives to us his earthly life in Canaan. By the way, chapters 27 to 38 have especially to do with Jacob. Now, we found in chapter 27, Isaac blessing his sons, Jacob and Esau. You find that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20. And we find here, first of all, Isaac's great desire for savory meat that he might bless his son Esau. He loved Esau. You see, Esau was the one who catered to his fleshly appetite. And by the way, this was not God's purpose for Isaac. Isaac should have known. When the two boys were born, these twins, Jacob and Esau, God said to Rebekah that the elder shall serve the younger. And now you have the conspiracy. In chapter 27, verses 6 to 17. I've already gone over this. I'm just refreshing your memory. Where we see the lack of faith in Rebekah. You remember in verse 23, you have this question of Rebekah. In chapter 23, pardon me, she was promised that Jacob would be the one who would receive the blessing. So she lacks that faith in what God had said. She's going to, another case where we're going to help God out. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? And notice in Jacob the growth of the sin. In chapter 27, 18 to 29, you have how Jacob lied to his father. And notice how the father over and over again says, Are you really my son Esau? Yes, he said, I'm Esau, your firstborn. Well, how did you get here so quickly, my son? Well, the Lord your God brought it to me. It even brings God into the picture. By how deceitful the human heart is. And he says, come near, I pray thee. I might feel you. Deceive you really, my son Esau. And you remember Isaac felt the arms of Jacob, upon which were the skins of the kids, which Rebekah, his mother, had arranged for. And he said, the voice is Jacob's, the hands are the hands of Esau. And he said, art thou my very son? Are you really Esau? He said, I am. He said, well, bring your venison to me. Let my soul may bless you. Do you remember that? And when he came, his father said, come near now and kiss me, my son. He still had a big question mark in his mind. But what I'm trying to get out here is, how deceitful is the human heart? We found it in Abraham when he lied about Sarah. We found it in Isaac when he lied about Rebekah. Now we find it in Jacob at the instigation of Rebekah. I say again, how deceitful is the human heart? What about yours and mine? It's so easy, you know, when we're caught in a jam. We may not lie what we would call lie, but we deceive. We say one thing and mean something else. So we deceive people. And when we're caught in a lie, what do? We cover it up with another one. I repeat it. Unless the Lord of glory comes into the human heart and takes over, unless he takes over, the flesh will be manifested, and there's no telling what the flesh will do. It's incurably bad. That's why God has promised to his own people that we're going to have different bodies. We're going to have bodies like unto his body of glory. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm going to look like Jesus in the sense of features, but I'm going to have an eternal body, an immortal, incorruptible body. There'll be no more testing. I'll be eternal, just as eternal, and I say it reverently, just as eternal as the Lord Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead and exalted to God's right hand to be a prince and a savior. May the Lord deliver you and me from deceit, from lies. Let's be above board, let us be what we ought to be before God. And the amazing thing to me here is that when Jacob was faced with it, he said, well, you know, your God helped me on this thing. How did he come so soon? Well, your God, he was the one and brought the meat to me. Oh, how terrible the human heart is. No wonder the prophet said, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And who can know it? And so we have this question. Now, starting in at verse 30, running through verse 46, we have Esau's remorse and anger. Esau's remorse and anger. Jacob had just gone out, when Esau, his brother, came in, starting in there at verse 30. You see, you have the blessing that Esau gave to Jacob. In fact, when you come right down, he offered him the land, the dew of heaven, the plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve you, let nations bow down before you, be lord over your brethren, and cursed be everyone that curseth you, and blessed be he that blesseth you. Sounds like chapter 10, doesn't it? Chapter 12, pardon me. And you no sooner finished the blessing to Jacob, then Esau, his brother, came in. And he said, well, father, arise, eat of your son's venison, that your soul may bless me. And now mark what happened. Isaac, his father, said, who are you? I am your son Esau, your firstborn. And Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all before you came, and have blessed him. and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said to his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away your blessing. And he said, Is not he rightly named Jacob? That means supplanter. For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac said to Esau, Behold, I have made him your lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. With corn and wine have I sustained him. What shall I do now unto you, my son? And Esau said to his father, Haven't you one blessing for me, my father? Bless me, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And then you have Isaac blessing Esau when he said, Behold, your dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, of the dew of heaven from above. And by your sword shall you live, and you shall serve your brother. It shall come to pass, when they shall have the dominion, that thou shalt be, that will break his yoke from off your neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. Let me just stop here for a few moments. But you notice, please, that what I'm after is when Esau came in, My father, who are you? I'm your son Esau. I've come in for the blessing. And Isaac trembled exceedingly. Why did he tremble? Isaac knew that the blessing was to be for Jacob. And he was trying to reverse God's order. And it was his love for the flesh that caused this. Isaac knew the promises of God. He knew what God had said to Rebekah. He knew that Jacob was the one whom was going to receive the blessing. But notice the unbelief of Jacob. Jacob bartered, you remember, way back in chapter 25. He bartered for the birthright, which included not only the inheritance, but also included the blessing of God that through him should Messiah come. It also included the priesthood in the family. And Esau cared not for none of these things. That was the birthright. And Jacob and Rebekah didn't have to plan and plot to get the blessing. God had promised that. But you know, it's just like you and me. We just can't wait God's time. How often we have asked the Lord to hurry up. If the Lord wants us to wait a little wee bit, we think that God hasn't heard our prayers and God is not going to answer. May I remind you of dear Daniel? The answer came after quite a while, so many days before it got through. I want to tell you, my friend, God is always on time. And if God puts into your heart to pray for something and it doesn't come right away, that isn't because God hasn't heard. God hears the faintest cry of his weakest child. As someone has said, quoting that psalm, where the ear of the Lord is open to the cry of the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and the Lord delivereth them out of all their troubles, 34th Psalm. Someone has translated that this way, the Lord cocks his ear, as if the Lord was reaching down with his hand cupped round his ear to hear the faintest cry of his weakest child. Ah, how true that is. It may be possible that today I'm talking to someone and you say, well, my prayers don't avail. My prayers don't even go beyond the ceiling of my room. Well, my friend, they don't have to. They just don't have to. The Lord's with you in the room. If you love the Savior, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's more concerned about you than you are about yourself. This is the thing that amazes me, is that most of us Christians feel everything depends upon us. No, all God asks is for cooperation. All we do is take our place before him in humility, in weakness, in frailty. come to him in his own presence, in his own name. And he's always on time. I want you to get this into your heart. Oh, how often I've prayed, and I'm sure you have. We've asked the Lord to do certain things, and it seems as if the Lord never heard us. But he did. He did. But you know what we do? We try to help God out. We always get into trouble. Abraham tried to help God out. Sarah tried to help God out, got into trouble. Near Rebecca is trying to help God out. She can hardly wait. Here comes Esau. She'd heard that her husband Isaac was going to bless Esau. Well, that can't happen. Jacob is going to get the blessing, but she couldn't wait, so she deceived. She plotted and planned against Isaac. Jacob went in and got the blessing. And Isaac trembled when Esau came in. I've already given the blessing. And you remember the cry of Esau? And he was angry. And I can't give you the blessing. You see, let me read you from Hebrews chapter 12. You remember this? Take heed, looking diligently, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. He found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Now there are those who take this passage and declare that Esau was repentant, and he found no place of repentance. And they twist it round and say it's possible for a person today who wants to repent, can't repent, and can't find a place of repentance. My friend, that isn't a story at all. He was a secular person. What do you mean by that? He was a secular person. He was one who had no heart, no thought, no room for spiritual realities. He didn't care, for example, about the birthright. He wasn't going to die, but he thought he was going to die. And he sold his birthright for a message of pottage. Now he's lost the blessing. And he could not change his father's mind, even though he sought it carefully with tears. He could not change his father's mind. Yet he found no place to change his father's mind. It's not that Esau was repentant. In fact, before you get very far, he's full of murder. For you remember, in verse 41, Esau hated Jacob. And the days of when he said in his heart, the days of mourning of my father are at hand. Then I will slay my brother Jacob. And then Rebekah heard about it. What I'm trying to get to your heart is this. God wants us to walk in faith, believing that in his own wonderful way and in his own good time, he'll fulfill every promise to his children. You see, most of us are like Jacob, and some are like Esau. Now, Esau was a secular man. That word, by the way, profane person, doesn't mean he was cursing and swearing. That word profane literally means outside the temple. He was a secular man, had no time, no room, no thought for the things of God. Spiritual realities didn't even come near him. Had no desire for spiritual realities. So what's the result? He's a secular person. Now, Jacob and Rebekah didn't have to go this way. God had said, I'm going to do it through Jacob. Isaac knew it. Rebekah knew it. When Isaac realized what he had tried to do, he trembled. And I believe he trembled because he realized he was out of the mind and thought of God for the blessing. Now, when you come to the end of the chapter, you have where Rebekah, in verses 41 to the end of the chapter, you find where Rebekah begins to scheme again. When she heard what Esau was going to do with Jacob, She still starts to scheme instead of trust. how easy it is to scheme instead of trusting the Lord. You know, if I may be blunt enough to say this, in evangelical circles, even among those who love the Lord and love the gospel, how easy it is for us to scheme different ways instead of trusting the Lord. I don't know of anything that delights the heart of God than for you to trust. But no, we've got to help God out. We've got to scheme. And when we do it in the flesh. And we miss the very thing that God has for us. This is what I'm trying to get to your heart when I see this. Now, Rebecca is scheming instead of trusting. And you know, the sad thing is, Rebecca is going to send Jacob away to get away from Esau. And the Lord deals with Rebecca. She never again saw Jacob. You see, friend, you can't scheme in the things of God. Are you scheming or are you trusting? Now, I know Jacob all through his life, for the most part, he come right toward the end. Jacob was always scheming. See, he schemed to get the birthright, and he schemed to get the blessing. And he didn't have to scheme to get anything. God had promised it to him. And you don't have to scheme either. It calls for a walk with God in simple obedience to his word. This is what I need. And I think many of you need it. And I would just plead with your heart today. Just plead with your heart to let the Lord himself rule in your life and rule in my life so that we'll be a benediction to others instead of a hindrance. Now the Lord bless you today, and may your own hearts be filled with the joy and blessing of the Savior. Walk with him today.